Welcome to the Motivational Firewood Podcast, created by Steve Gamlin. As an award-winning speaker and author, Steve's greatest passion is blending inspiration and humor to create relatable, actionable, and repeatable messages. We hope you enjoy this recording.
Hey there, my friend, Steve Gamlin here with this latest podcast. And of course, what do I love to do? I like to go out in the world and find cool people to talk to. And this week is no exception. I recently met a young man who reached out on social media. So for those of you who think social media is a waste of time, it is not. And he is a speaker. He's an author currently working on a book. And we just decided to get together, kick around some ideas. And I tell you what, I loved his story. So today we're going to be talking with my new bud, Ethan. Ethan, how you doing today?
Good, Steve, man. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Hey, anything to get your story out there, because as we were sitting over at Panera for a cup of coffee and a little breakfast, I'm sitting there listening to your stories saying, damn, your stories are good.
Sometimes in our darkest moments, we are at almost our highest peak of creativity, and sometimes we don't even know it, you know?
Yeah. Why don't you share with the listeners kind of where, I mean, you undertook this insanely huge journey, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes, but why don't you tell us where that journey started, and then we'll expand on it a little bit more.
Sure. So the journey, actually, getting back to the dark moment, it started at a rehab center at a fourth-story window that I was about to jump out of and commit suicide. And I looked out of the window, and I had no reason to live. And I looked right across the street, and there was a funeral home. So I thought, hey, it's just a one-stop shop. And I was more concerned about jumping out of the window and hurting someone else than I was about me. That's how low it was. At that time, I suddenly felt this overwhelming sensation of just being so tired that I put that on hold, and I decided to go to sleep on my prison mattress. It was so thin and uncomfortable, and I was out like a light. And at this time in my life, my grandmother was going through a losing battle to Alzheimer's. And so when I had this dream, all of a sudden I dreamt that I was hiking the entire Appalachian Trail. I don't know where it came from, the dream. Who knows where these things come from. And I had a piece of her favorite dress that she bought down in Boston like 50 years ago. And she wore it to every family occasion. And I had a piece of that dress. And in this dream, I buried it at the end of Katahdin, Maine. And I hiked the whole thing. So when I woke up, I felt like I had purpose again, where I didn't the previous night. So it was sort of one of those things where you go from the lowest of your life to the highest. And it's one of those things where it's hard to tell people to just hang in there for a day. But, I mean, for me, it changed everything.
And so many speakers out there, I mean, we're fellow speakers, we're fellow authors. So many speakers can give people that spark, and for that day, all of a sudden, you say, okay, I have no problems, everything's great again, I'm on cloud nine. You're still sitting in a rehab facility. You're still sleeping on this crappy thin mattress that a prisoner would use.
Right.
How do you keep that spark alive long enough to, and I don't know, were you a hiker prior to this?
No, I had no hiking experience. I don't think I ever camped alone before. I'd never really been out in the woods. So everything I did, I think I went on one big hike before, but everything I did when I went out on the hike was brand new to me. The motivation and the sense of purpose was one thing. Getting over the addiction, I mean, that was something totally different. Those are two separate things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many people in our industry, and this is part of the reason that I got into this industry, too many people think that all of a sudden they say that one thing and they're actually changing lives.
Right.
And we're not. And that's part of the reason that I'm called the provider of motivational firewood. You've got a spark somewhere in you. If I can give you some information or a bit of knowledge or story or something that gets you to take it and then do something with it, that's great. I'm not here to be like in the movies where all of a sudden you decide you're going to hike the Appalachian Trail and the clouds part and the angels go, ah, and everything's better.
Yeah.
When you first told people that you were going to hike the Appalachian Trail, even among family and friends, I don't know how many people you told, what was their reaction?
Oh, my God. Well, I was 60 pounds overweight, and I think that was just coming out of rehab and eating all the sugar I could and whatever. But I remember I made an announcement at Christmas, and it was like you could hear a pin drop in the room. I think everyone was a little shocked. First of all, I don't think anyone thought I could do it. So, I mean, that's one thing. But it doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, if you have your mind set on something, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what anyone thinks. I mean, if you make up your mind that, you know, you're either going to climb Everest 17 times, which is what the Appalachian Trail is like in a sense. It's like summiting Everest 17 times. Mm. You can do that. Or whether you want to get out of financial debt, anything you can do, I think, if you really put your mind to it and work really, really, really have that sickening work ethic, I think you can do it. And for me, it was on the job training. Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming you didn't walk this alone. I mean, that's quite an undertaking. You want to make sure there's somebody there who's got your back.
Yeah, so I reached out to my buddy reached out to me, who I went to film school with 10 years prior, and he heard my story, and he wanted to film me the whole way. So he got a couple GoPro cams and a drone helicopter, and he filmed me the whole way. And during part of it, we do interviews, and it was really fun. If I were to do it again, I'd probably want to go alone. Nothing against him, but just to set my own pace and to spend more time with the characters, because we were under a time crunch, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to do it again, I'd probably do it alone. And I've talked to a lot of through hikers and long-distance hikers, and they've said the same thing. If they were to do it again, they might want to do it alone. I think there's something special about going alone.
One of the pictures you showed me was you sitting on the edge, and I don't remember exactly where it was, like a little outcropping of a rock, basically a cliff, and you're sitting on the edge of it with your legs dangling off.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, what a journey from this fourth floor windowsill to that, and just sitting there looking like you're having the time of your life, just talking to the world, just connecting.
Yeah, so that was at McAfee Knob, and that's one of the most famous spots to take a picture with on the whole trail. It's such a difference, you know, what a difference a year can make between jumping out of a window and looking out into one of the greatest views I've ever seen in my life. It was a complete transformation in every sense. It was amazing.
Now, one of the characters that I know, part of your book, you're talking about a lot of the, you know, I'll say characters because I know the background on some of these guys.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about when people go after their goals, if they don't have a ton of resources or a ton of support, how resourceful you actually have to be. I mean, one of the people that you met on your journey was like the world's greatest, like MacGyver would have been jealous of this guy. Why don't you share the story about the guy with the shoes?
Yeah, so I met this guy who he was sleeping in the Smokies one day, and a wild dog ran off with one of his expensive trail runner shoes. And, you know, when you're in one of those situations, you can either give up or you can think of a way to overcome that obstacle. And so this guy ended up hiking something insane, like 200 miles, and one of his trail runners, and then a croc, one of his croc shoes, and then just kept going. I mean, and then he'd hike in his crocs until they were worn to the nub. And it was like there was no barrier that you could put in front of this kid that would stop him. And the best thing about him was that he had a size 7 in men's shoe, which in itself we would tease him about. And his, you know, comeback would be, well, I don't see what the big deal is. There's size 9 in women's, you know, which into itself is a funny joke anyway. But so we'd always tease him about that. So one day he got to a hostel and he found a hiker box. And he was so overjoyed and excited because he found size 9 women's bright pink shoes, hiker boots. And they were really good name brand. So he wore them. He wore them for like 250 miles. He wore these bright pink women's hiking boots. It was like, you know, good. I've overcome that. Well, you know, like with any shoe, you get to the point where you wear it very, very, very thin, almost too thin where it's almost dangerous. So he called the company and he said, I'm hiking the Appalachian Trail with my girlfriend and these shoes are defective. Is there any way you can send us new ones? And they said, well, you're going to have to send us a picture first. He sent a picture of the shoes, and they sent him brand new women's size 9, bright pink hiking boots in the next drop box. So it just shows, like, if you want something bad enough, you can do it. I mean, there's no reason why. I mean, he was just very persistent, and it paid off because he finished the hike.
Nice. Doing something with nothing. I mean, literally, so many people would have flown home that day. A wild dog comes out of the woods, grabs one of your expensive shoes, and takes off with it, and you're stuck.
Yeah, and at that point, you can't call up the company and say, hey, look, I need one shoe.
Right.
You know, it's like one of those situations where it's like things people wouldn't think of, he thought of, you know. It's that type of resourcefulness that, and he was a young kid too, that I think everybody can learn from, and not just on the hike, but in anywhere.
Yeah. One of the greatest moments that I remember you telling me about, and we sat, literally, we were just meeting just to collaborate on a couple ideas and maybe just pick each other's brains a little. We sat there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Effortlessly. That's the beauty of what we do for a living, is when we get in this groove, man, I mean, nothing, we shut our phones off, which is amazing for my friends who know me. One of the stories that you told me that I absolutely loved and appreciated was you carried that piece of your grandmother's dress with you. Where is that piece right now?
So it's kind of funny. So we got to the top of Baxter State Park in Maine at Katahdin, and we got to the top of the mountain, which was, I think, 5.5 miles or 3.5 miles. It was all straight uphill. It was a really, really grueling hike. And we got to the top, and we were taking our pictures at the Katahdin sign. And some guy handed me what I thought was a soda can, a non-store brand soda can. And so I looked at it, and I was about to pop it open. And I looked at it a little closer, and I realized it was a beer. It was a imported beer. So I stopped myself right away, and I kind of laughed. And I showed it to my buddy, who happened to be Mormon, who would go to hell and I'd go back to rehab if we opened it. And I said, wouldn't it be cool if we took both of these and we kind of put them inside of one of the rock quarries? So we took about 20 rocks out of it and put both of them inside, and then put all the rocks back inside. And for all I know, they're still there, you know?
Yeah.
So whoever finds it's going to find a dress and maybe have a nice little buzz because of me. So it'll be really, you know, something if it's out there. And if you're listening to this, it's, you'll know the rock quarry I'm talking about. So
nice.
Yeah.
What do you think has been the biggest lesson? I mean, you've been back for a while. You're working on your book, and you're gearing up for some speaking events as well. What do you think is the biggest thing that you can share with the listeners who might be on, right now, might be on that window ledge, or might be somewhere kind of hiking towards something important to them, and maybe they're thinking of giving up. Maybe a dog stole one of their shoes.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do. What do you think is the biggest lesson that you want to share with your speaking and your book?
I really do think, out of everything I've learned, that pain is greatness, that out of the darkest hours, we're at our peak of creativity, and sometimes we don't even know it. Just because you're down right now doesn't mean you're out. I think I'm a prime example of that. And a lot of people I've met on the trail or met are the same way. I mean, they had horrific things happen to them, and now they were on the trail and they're having the time of their lives. And it's not just an example of the hike, because for me, the hike was the backdrop. It was the people I met. I think the same thing with life. You know, once you find that thing that drives you, whether it be, I want to make more money at work, I want to provide a better life for my family, I want to be the best person I can be. Once you find that thing and you follow it with every breath you have and you make it your passion, then everything, I think, will start falling into place. And that's, I think, the best advice I could give to anyone.
And it's so true. I mean, I've had my journey, which my listeners are pretty familiar with by now, and you've got yours as well. And so many people out there, as we're coming into, at the time of this recording, it's approaching mid-November, so it's dark, it's cold. You know, I keep a gratitude journal, so at least 3 times a week I write down 3 things in each writing session that are good, that are happening right now. But people that don't do that, if you were to walk up to somebody at the end of the year, now I will have at least 450 reasons why this year was good, or 450 good things that happened this year. But if you were to just walk up to somebody who's just kind of walking through life every day, not noticing the good people, or in your case, some of the crazy people who taught really good lessons, or all these opportunities, they're going to miss it. So I think that people are who are struggling right now get it and understand that you make a decision, you start walking, you surround yourself with the best people. Maybe you distance yourself a little bit, even emotionally, from people who don't, not necessarily don't just believe in you, but want to crap all over your dreams because maybe they wouldn't do it.
Right, and that's the thing, too, is that people, and this is what I found, people who say you can't do it, 9 times out of 10, they're the ones who can't do it. Yeah. And you can't, no matter what, you can't fall into that category of believing what they believe. You're your own person. Do what you want to do because you want to do it and you know you can do it. That's them. That's their thing. That's their problem. You can climb mountains. You can do anything you want to do. You know what I mean? We were meant to be great. That's what I really do believe that. And if we believe what other people want us to, we'd all be, like, think about how low we would be. Nothing would be accomplished in this world if we listened to everyone else.
Yeah. So, and everybody who says your dreams are crazy, check out the history books. Or kids, and they're going to school right now, check out their history books. You know what's on every page in that book? Crazy people.
Exactly. You can look through history of people who were rejected from recording industry, like the Beatles or Oprah Winfrey on TV, or, you know, Einstein, or everyone who thought outside the box and was looked upon as crazy, who we now look at as probably some of the greatest minds, some of the greatest thinkers, some of the greatest innovators. And if they would have listened to other people, where would they be right now? You know, it's just kind of funny to think about.
And it's cool, too, that all of a sudden, when the person who's deemed crazy or just, you know, foolish is off doing something, everybody's just throwing stones, ha-ha, and they're never going to do it. Then all of a sudden they do it. Everybody wants to be your best friend, and they want you to teach them how to do it.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I remember when Steve Jobs overtook Apple again, and he came up with the Think Different campaign, and he had like that 30-second commercial about the people who thought different, and the whole campaign was Think Different, and they had like Einstein, and it was like, here's to the crazy ones, the ones who thought different.
Yeah.
And it was really, 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 really cool. And I always remember that commercial, and I always remember how at the time people must have thought these people were lunatics, and now we look at them and we put them on a pedestal. So, I mean, there's a thin line, I really think, between crazy and genius.
Yeah. And I love anytime somebody, I say I'm going to do something, somebody says I'm crazy, in my head I start laughing because that means, good, I'm doing it right.
Right. I mean, almost 4 years ago, February 1st, if somebody would have anyone in my family that I would have gotten sober, they would have said, yeah, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. He's either going to die or he's going to be in prison. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So to me, just being where I am now is a miracle. It's, and I feel like I've gotten a second lease on life, you know?
People like us, we just, you know, we do something, you reach a certain height. Just the way we are, we want to turn around, reach a hand back and bring somebody else up because the view is so much cooler when you have somebody to share it with.
Yeah, you know, I'm used to being at the bottom for so long. I kind of like the view from the top. It looks pretty good from up here.
Yeah, I like it. And I'm still climbing. I mean, every time I'm a member of the National Speakers Association, been a professional speaker for 10 years, there are still people out there. I mean, some of these people are $1 million a year speakers and authors, and they're reaching out to help me. So I'm always trying to remember to reach out every single day, at least with an act of kindness or a bit of advice if somebody seeks it out.
It really is about, and I found this on the trail too, about paying it forward. You know, we had so many people who would like either buy us a meal or do something kind for us, whether give us trail magic, which is, you know, you'd be hiking for 15 miles and you'd see a cooler out in the middle of nowhere that said something to the effect of, I hope this brightens your day. And it was full of soda and candy and chips and just cool things. And when you got that, you knew, well, now it's our turn to pay it forward.
Now, you've got a Facebook page kind of dedicated to your walk and dedicated, of course, to your grandmother. What is the name of that Facebook page so people can go up and like the page and kind of get some updates on where you're headed as far as your speaking and your book that's coming out?
Great. It's Hiking for Grammy, HikingFor Grammy. And I actually just got 265 new pages from my buddy who sent me my thumb drive back. So I have a bunch of new pictures that I'm going to load up.
I encourage people to get up there, check out the pictures, learn about your story. If you know somebody, if you're listening right now and you know somebody who's kind of struggling around in the darkness right now, let them know about this young man. And I can call him a young man because I'm almost 50. Check out his story. You know, the best part of what I do is I get to find real, honest-to-God, authentic people who've done some pretty cool stuff. And that's why he is my guest today on the podcast. Ethan, thank you so much for reaching out with an email to ask if we could just connect on a couple ideas. And look what's already happened.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you letting me have the forum to speak and tell my story.
And we're just getting started. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you take care, my friend. I will catch you again very soon. To all the listeners, thank you so much. Hope you got something out of this. And if you did, now go do something with it.
Thank you for listening. We hope Steve's message provided many pieces of motivational firewood, which you can add to the spark in your heart to create success. For more information on how to include Steve at your next event or to learn more about his personal development programs, please visit stevegamlin.com.